RBR Radio News.
This is Jack Mesmer from Radio and Television Business Report, along with Carl Marcucci, and we're speaking today with Bob Neal, the CEO of Cox Radio. And Bob, your company and InterCity recently launched an ad campaign calling on the radio industry to urge Arbitron to put the PPM rollout on hold until it gets Media Rating Council accreditation in at least one more market. So the question, first off, is why the timing? Why do you think this is critical now?
Well, Jack, I think it's critical now because we're coming up to a decision point in mid-June. Arbitron has to make a decision on whether or not they're going to continue the rollout. And we just felt this was a good time to try and make our case on why MRC accreditation was important. The fact that they failed the test once already in Philadelphia is not a good sign. And, in our view, the fact that that they're not moving along at a very rapid pace to get this taken care of. So we just think for the trust in the currency that we need to have that check mark that says the science of PPM is correct.
Now, in the monthly Arbitron PPM conference call with clients, Dan Mason from CBS took an opposing view, and his rebuttal was that MRC accreditation is not what makes PPM or any other rating system a currency, and he doesn't think that it's necessary to have the accreditation before going ahead with the rollout and using PPM as currency in more markets. So why is that so important to you, and why do you differ with him on whether the MRC accreditation is vital for making it valid as a currency?
Well, first of all, remember that before Houston was brought online as a currency, Arbitron promised that they would get accreditation there. You know, this isn't just a minor change. This is a complete change in the way that radio is measured, sold, and bought. So it's not a minor change. It's important. It was important enough for Arbitron to make sure that Houston was accredited. So what happened was they changed the system that they use primarily in the sampling regime from the Houston system to what they want to use in Philadelphia and beyond. They started the accreditation process, and MRC basically told them, you failed. We don't accept this as good science. So I think you have to take the events and look at them in totality in terms of how all of this is rolled out. It was important enough to Arbitron to do it in the very first market that they wanted to commercialize. So now they're saying that the biggest markets in America, the most rich media markets in America, that isn't important anymore? We just disagree with that. We think that given the track record of Arbitron since Philadelphia's launch, the poor sampling, the problems that we've had, it's just something one right after another, leaving stations out of reports. But what scares us is that they're not really ready to do this, that they're in over their heads. And if they're in over their heads on something as simple as leaving stations out of a report, then that just scares us to death about what's really going on in the sampling in the Philadelphia-style markets and beyond. So, you know, we think if you take this picture as a whole and don't just look at it as a snapshot, then what you see is Arbitron has had problems, and we think the industry needs that comfort of knowing that the science has been verified before they roll out this new system.
Do you feel that you're standing pretty much alone on this or not?
No, not at all. There are a number of other groups that believe this. In our industry, we have, different types of people, and some people prefer to go to Arbitron in the background and talk to them about this. Some people prefer to be more vocal about it, and, Charles and myself decided that we would rather be more vocal about it.
Now, the other point that Dan Mason had made was about his company using a number of other audience research tools that are not MRC accredited, and that your company does also. So, why not PPM without accreditation?
Well, Arbitron is the main currency for buying and selling. The reality is that tools like Media Audit and Scarborough, I call them add-ons. In other words, words, they're used for qualitative information primarily, and they base against an index against what you see in an Arbitron book. For example, Scarborough will show you an index in some category, and then you can index against the Arbitron numbers. But, you know, the reality here is that if you go to an advertising buyer, they don't place an advertising buy off of Scarborough or Media Audit. They place the buy off of Arbitron. Arbitron is the primary currency, and as the primary currency, you need to have trust in that. But for example, okay, which would you rather have? Would you rather have the United States currency backed by the United States government, or would you rather have the United States currency backed by McDonald's? You know, nothing against McDonald's here, but the point is that you need that trust in the currency, and Media Audit and Scarborough are not the currency that's used to buy and sell radio time.
Now, there is one PPM market that is accredited, and it's Houston, and you are in that market, so why isn't that enough?
I don't think I understand the question, Jack.
I mean, why isn't having that market accredited enough to allay your concerns about the science?
Ah, okay. As I said earlier, there's a completely different system that they use between Houston and Philadelphia and beyond. So when they draw the sample in Houston, I'm going to try to explain this in terms that are as easy to understand as possible, but the way that they recruit that sample is, I would call it a door-to-door. You know, we recruit the sample that way. In Philadelphia and beyond, it's a telephone sample. And I think you don't have to be a rocket scientist. If you know that Houston is accredited and you know that Philadelphia has failed, that not just hasn't gotten there, but has failed, then logic would tell you that there's something different between those two systems in the way that the sample is put together. So it would tell you that maybe there's something wrong with that, and that's why Philadelphia and beyond can't get accredited. If Philadelphia can't get accredited with that new system, then that's trouble for all of the rest of the markets, because Arbitron plans on using that Philadelphia system going forward, not the Houston system.
Carl, I think you have a couple of questions.
Yeah, I had spoken to a couple of agency people, and really there were two main questions that they wanted me to pose to you. And the thing that's interesting is that some of the agency community is voicing the same concerns that you're voicing, which is kind of unusual in this game. So you're both concerned about a couple things, but from their perspective, they'd like me to ask you, what would it take, really, in a perfect world, for you to be happy with PPM? What would you like to see happen as far as SPI and panel and methodology? They really were asking for some specific benchmarks that you'd like to see before you'd be comfortable with PPM. Obviously, one is accreditation from MRC. What would be some of the other things?
Well, I think when we look at the indexing and the sample sizes in individual demos, I think that's an area where Arbitron needs to get more realistic. They arbitrarily set these benchmarks that they keep touting. Those benchmarks were not set by the industry. They were not set by the Arbitron Advisory Council. In fact, the council asked for much more, and Arbitron came back and said, no, we're not going to do that. This is the best we'll do. Take it or leave it. So they've set these benchmarks very, very, very low. And when you look at the individual demos, let me give you an example. In Long Island, in the pre-currency information, we cannot run a report on 18 to 24-year-old women for our top 40 station because the sample is too small. Now, you know, Nassau-Suffolk is a top 20 market. Okay, when PPM starts making its way down into the smaller market sizes, those sample sizes are going to be even smaller. So running individual demos, and look, 18 to 24 is a pretty important demographic for top 40 and rock stations, and the fact that you couldn't even run a report on that just is not acceptable. Arbitron's proposed solution to that is that they lower the threshold in the software from a sample size of 30 down. They proposed a sample size of 10. 10 to run a report.
That's statistically almost insignificant, right?
I mean, that is insane. In a market of millions of people, you're going to base an advertising buy decision or worse yet, programming decisions on 10 panelists? That's insane.
What do you think is an acceptable SPI? I mean, you could say maybe a household number, or you could even say a person's number, but what do you think they need to at least hit to be reliable?
Well, I think in the individual cells, the individual cells are important. They can't just take a number like 6+ and say, well, you know, we're hitting this because...
Right. You know, nothing's bought that way, really.
As I pointed out, if you look at the diary markets, the 55+ sample is being padded, so they don't have to pay any rebates. You can look over the last 4 or 5 years in any of those markets, and you'll see the raw number sample for 55+ increasing, and the raw sample number for 18 to 54 decreasing and hitting historic lows.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think the target in the individual cells should be 85%.
Okay.
I think that's a very reasonable number. It's not easy, but for all of us to have some comfort, that's the kind of number that we should be looking at. And the advisory council and a number of other broadcasters have also said to them, we don't want 6 to 11-year-olds. They're not useful to us. So just take that sample and put it back into 18 to 54-year-olds so we can bring the sample numbers up. Arbitron's response to that is, oh, well, our software was written for 6 to 11-year-olds. And it's like, well, then we don't care if the pages are printed blank. You know, mm-hmm. keep using the same software, mm-hmm. but give a sample in the demos that are most important to buying.
Now, you made it clear that you, in the past, you are a believer in PPM. You just want it to be done right. And obviously, the biggest reason for industry questioning the PPM is the sample size and getting enough people to carry the PPM, simply put. Do you have any ideas or suggestions that could bring up that sample size, especially with the younger demos that half of them don't even know what a radio is anymore? I mean, what can Arbitron do within an acceptable cost range to improve the carry rate, the sample size, the people using these PPM?
Well, I would tell you I'm not a research scientist, so anything that I say has to be taken in that context. What I think happened here, and it's a bit sad, is that PPM did not develop the way Arbitron thought that it would. They thought they were going to have a partnership with Nielsen in every market that would also measure television. And I think they foresaw that that's the way this product was going to roll out. And so when they started to do the testing and the calculations, I think they just underestimated the cost of actually doing this the way that it needed to be done. So they're in a situation right now where they've priced the product and they're finding out that this is going to be more costly than they thought. That's a little scary, given that they had 5 years to test this.
Mm-hmm.
But, to be really honest, that's their problem. They have to deliver a quality product to broadcasters and to agencies. That's what we pay them to do. They've had a lot of experience over the years in dealing with this. But I really think, and I certainly don't have any problem with folks trying to make more money, okay? But if you make more money at the cost of the trust that people have in your company to produce this data, that leads to Pulse, that leads to Hooper, that leads to you being out of business, I think, at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So the way to solve this problem, they could solve this problem tomorrow if they wanted to. They could just say, well, we're going to use the Houston sampling regime. That's accredited. We're just going to use that in all the markets that we roll forward. And, when you ask them why they don't do that, they just look at you and say, well, that's too expensive. Well, wait a minute. That's what you sold us on. That's the system that's accredited, that you trumpeted, that was going to be accredited. It was going to be wonderful, and now it's too expensive?
Would you be willing to pay more for it? Would the industry be willing to pay the extra? Because obviously Arbitron is not going to do that regimen at a loss every year. They're going to have to pass that on, the added cost. Would you be willing to pay a little bit more, or I'm not going to say significantly more, but let's just say a bit more to get the product the way you want? Because it sounds like that's an easy answer.
Well, look, Arbitron was very closed during the RFP process when we said, you know, maybe what we need to do here is we need to understand what the costs of electronic measurement are. You know, you want us to pay, at reality, that 65% number gets floated around, but it's, you know, more like 85 to 100% more for less sample and other things. And we need you to explain to us why that makes sense from a business standpoint, and of course they weren't willing to do that. So here's the deal, though. Let's think about it in terms of another industry. Okay, the airline industry would not sacrifice the safety of its customers for its profit margin, because if they did, it would be pretty obvious at some point after several plane crashes, okay, that people weren't going to fly their airplane anymore because they didn't believe the airline was safe. That's a cost of doing business. Mm-hmm. Yes, I could do things that would bring my profit margin up and bring my safety factor down. Arbitron's responsibility as a business is to produce the product for their customers that they said they were going to produce, and if their profit margins get hit in the short term, I can assure you they're making a lot of money, okay, mm-hmm. even if they went to the Houston sampling regime. But it's a question of, you know, oftentimes in any company, just, you know, what's your threshold for how much money you want to make, and mm-hmm. how does that balance out with the product that you want to deliver? But, you know, in my view, we bought into a product that was supposed to have been tested for 5 years, that was vetted, that they said was ready to go, and it isn't. Okay, so that's their problem. Fix it, get it to that point, and then as we come back around and continue to work on this, because nothing's perfect, then we can make those decisions later on about, you know, what are we willing to do as an industry if we need to do more things to make it better? But right now, just deliver what you said you were going to deliver.
Well, it sounds to me like it's as simple as Houston. I know that we can. That's a point to me that the industry can start from, where you would be comfortable. I think obviously the MRC would be comfortable if we move that regimen over to other markets. The agencies would obviously be happy with that. So maybe the key really is to start with Houston and start over and see if we can move that to other markets. Other than that, that's all I have for you, Bob. Maybe Jack can keep going on this.
Well, that's certainly not the course that Arbitron is currently talking about taking, because they're gearing up to restart in the fall with the rollout, and they're satisfied that they've got everything working. So I guess the question is, Bob Neal, you already have a contract, so at this point, it seems very likely that you would be paying for the service on Long Island, as you already are in Houston. So why did you sign the contract in the first place if you had such reservations about the PPM rollout?
Well, again, you have to look at the process, you know, on a timeline, and you have to look at the process in totality. When we signed our contract, we didn't know too much about the new sampling regime. All we really knew about was Houston, excuse me. And the more that we found out about Philadelphia, the more fear we have about that system. Because, as I said, over the last even 6 months since the rollout was stopped, there continues to be problem after problem after problem. And, I think that's the main point is, number one, we didn't really understand what was going on with the new sampling system. And as far as Houston was concerned, we had issues that we felt we would be better off working on from within the process than from without the process. And I think I said this recently on our corporate earnings call when somebody asked about it. You know, there's just as much of a track record of anybody boycotting a rating system very successfully from the standpoint of if it has been agreed in Houston that this is pretty much going to be the currency, and the major broadcasters in Houston really had coalesced around that idea, than to have one person or one group say, well, we're just not going to subscribe in Houston. That hasn't been a very successful situation. I mean, oddly enough, we were talking about Dan Mason earlier. I remember when he was working at Cook Inlet. Remember, Cook Inlet stopped subscribing to Arbitron in all of their markets it wasn't very long. I want to say 6 months or a year, although I'm not positive on the timeline. And that just, you know, it didn't turn out to be very good for them. So I think when you combine the fact that we didn't really know what was going to happen with the new sampling system, and we felt that we'd be better off to work from within on Houston, that's why we signed our deal.
You mentioned your conference call. Your company is a public company. Arbitron is a public company. And you've expressed some concerns about how Arbitron has tied the compensation of its executives to the PPM rollout. You know, why do you object to that?
I just have a feeling that that's not the right kind of message to send to your customers, because the message that it sends is that the senior management team, to get their payouts, to get their bonus payouts, is incented to roll the PPM out whether it's right or not. I didn't see anything when I looked through the SEC documents that would have indicated that there was any kind of a payout for the data being right. Now, it's up to them to incent their executives any way that they want to. They certainly have the right to do that, but I felt, and I still do feel, that it's not the right message to send. It's not the right message to send to your customers.
The people who are running Arbitron, do you think they know what they're doing? Do you have any objection to how they're running the company?
I don't have any problem with the people at Arbitron. I have lots of problems with the decisions some of them make. I don't really, really not privy to how those decisions are made or who makes them or what the process is for making them. But my problem is with their decisions, not with their people.
It's been, I guess, several years now that you've been raising, you know, questions publicly about PPM before the Houston accreditation, when you did finally sign a contract, and since, with what's been going on in the subsequent markets. So if Arbitron wanted to shut up Bob Neal, what would it take?
Well, I think they could do it in 24 hours by saying, tomorrow we're going to go to the Houston sampling system in Philadelphia and beyond, and our minimum benchmark in the individual demos is 85%. And if they did that, I'd say that's great. I think that's a terrific starting point. And, you know, we would be for full speed ahead as fast as they could do that and roll that out in the new markets. We'd be all for that.
And if that doesn't happen, what do you see happening to the radio industry if the rollout resumes this fall as planned?
Well, it has the potential to get pretty ugly, and the reason for that is that the losers in the PPM world, losers because of bad sampling or whatever, will call in to Clear Focus, to advertisers everywhere. This is not an accredited service. These sample sizes are ridiculous. In the case of Hispanic and African American broadcasters that are going to take, you know, major hits with this methodology, they're going to be, I would expect they're going to work as activists in their communities to say that this is bad for African American and Hispanic owned businesses, and it's just going to be a big mess. That's what's going to happen. You know, oddly enough, Cox's radio stations in Houston and Long Island do just fine under the PPM system. But the people that don't do fine are going to have some real, and I think more importantly, they're going to have legitimate grievances that are going to continue to be talked about. And just like we're seeing in Philadelphia right now, there are buyers that are not buying radio in Philadelphia because they're just so unsure of what's going on. They know that there's problems with the sampling. They know there's problems with the system. So rather than try to sort all of that out, they just say, you know, the heck with it. We're not going to try to place radio there and mess with it until this all gets resolved. So now, moving on to the richest radio media markets, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, if this same kind of problem keeps coming up, and I can assure you that it will, then the broadcasters that aren't doing well will have no choice but to defensively position the currency as a bunch of baloney. And that's not good for our business.
Do you have any more questions, Carl?
No, I think that covered it well. It was well said.
Well, we'll thank Bob Neal for joining us today, and I'm sure we'll hear from you again, Bob.
Thanks, guys.